What do you think about people that read the Word of God or hear the truth about God and then say, I'm sorry, but I just don't believe it. I am not going to live that way. I don't think it's right. What is that called? It's arrogance. And do you realize what they're doing? They're calling God into judgment. They're looking at what the Word of God says about God, and they're saying it's wrong. You can't do that, beloved. You'll see that today. God is purposed. God is planned. God has said, I am God. God doesn't want you to seek greatness for yourself. God doesn't want you to be arrogant. And you have to know, beloved, that if you do not listen to God, if you walk in arrogance, if you turn away from the precepts of God's Word and walk your own way, He is going to have to judge you. So you need to know that. You need to understand that. We want to look now at Jeremiah chapter 48. Jeremiah chapter 48. And I left off, I read to you verse 39. So we start at verse 40. And you've been great to stick with me this week. And I pray that although we've been talking about the nations, that God has been speaking to your heart, and that you understand that you're not to be arrogant. You're not to be proud. You're not to exalt yourself above God. It's not all about you, as we saw in God's word to Baruch in Jeremiah chapter 45. All right, verse 40. For thus says the Lord, he's talking to Moab. Behold, one will fly swiftly like an eagle and spread out its wings against Moab. Kerioth has been captured and the strongholds have been seized. So the hearts of the mighty men of Moab in that day will be like the heart of a woman in labor. Moab will be destroyed from being a people. This is what God is saying about the people living in Jordan. It says, because he has become arrogant toward the Lord. Terror, pit, and snare are coming upon you, O inhabitant of Moab, declares the Lord. The one who flees from the terror will fall into the pit. The one who climbs up out of the pit will be caught in a snare. He says, for I will bring upon her, even upon Moab, the year of their punishment, declares the Lord. In the shadow of Heshbon, the fugitives stand without strength. For a fire has gone forth from Heshbon, and a flame from the midst of Shion, and it has devoured the forehead of Moab and the scalps of the riotous revelers. Woe to you, Moab. The people of Chemosh have perished. Chemosh, remember, is their god. For your sons have been taken away captive and your daughters into captivity. Sounds dismal, doesn't it? And yet listen to this last verse. Yet I will restore the fortunes of Moab in the latter days. Now listen, it says at the end of the days, literally at the end of the days. It is yet to come. Thus far, the judgment on Moab. God restores. You can see it in Isaiah chapter 11. In Isaiah chapter 11. And I want you to go there very quickly. Isaiah chapter 11. And I want you to look at verse 3 and 5. It's talking about the Lord coming. It's talking about a day yet future. And it says, and it's talking about this shoot, this branch. It says, he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision but by what his ears hear. But with righteousness, he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. And then you come down to verse 10, and this is what it says. In that day, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse. Moab is going to resort to the Lord. Egypt is going to resort to the Lord, who will stand as a signal for the peoples. His resting place will be glorious. And it will happen on that day that the Lord will recover the second time with his hand the remnant of his people who will remain from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, from the islands of the sea. It says, and he will lift up a standard for the nations and assemble the banished ones of Israel. And he goes on to say in verse 14, they will swoop down on the slopes of the Philistines on the west. Together they will plunder the sons of the east. They will possess Edom and Moab, and the sons of Ammon will be subject to them. Subject to whom? Subject to Israel, the nation that they now consider their enemy. Well, we've come to chapter 49, the last one for this week, and it concerns, first of all, the sons of Ammon. And Ammon was a brother of Moab by the same father. Thus says the Lord, does Israel have no sons? Or has he no heirs? Why then has Malcolm, there's two ways to spell this word of this God, taken possession of Gad and his people settled in its cities? What they did is Ammon went up and took possession of the cities of the tribe of Gad. And he says, what are you doing taking their cities? They have an heir. It belongs to them. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, that I will cause a trumpet blast of war to be heard against Rabbah, the sons of Ammon, and it will become a desolate heap. Her towns will be set on fire. Now listen, then Israel will take possession of his possessors, says the Lord. Wail, O Heshbon, for Ai has been destroyed. Cry out, O daughters of Rabbah. Gird your claws with sackcloth and lament. Rush back and forth inside the walls, for Malcolm will go into exile. God says, I triumph. I win. You cannot take my people's territory and get away with it. It says, Malcolm will go into exile with his priests and his princes. How boastful are you about the valleys? Your valley is flowing away, O backsliding daughter, who trusts in treasures, saying, who will come against me? I have everything I need, and I can defend myself. Who will come against me? Remember, we're not to seek greatness for ourselves. We're to walk in dependence. And this is what God says. Behold, I'm going to come against you. I'm going to bring terror upon you, declares the Lord of hosts. From all directions around you, each of you will be driven out headlong with no one to gather the fugitives together. But afterwards, I will restore the fortune of the sons of Ammon, declares the Lord. Oh, the grace of God, the grace of God concerning Edom. Now, who is Edom? Edom is the brother. Edom comes from Esau. Esau was the brother of Jacob. Esau is the one that God says in Malachi, and he says it again in Romans. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated, because Esau was a young man that had the birthright of the Lord and despised it. And God uses that as an illustration in the chastening chapter, in Hebrews chapter 12. He says, don't despise the discipline of the Lord. And then he talks about, don't be like Esau, who sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. What did he do? He was more concerned about his need at that moment and his appetite and his desire rather than the privilege of the birthright of the Lord. And so he sold it. He sold it to his brother Jacob. So now in verse 7 it says concerning Edom, thus says the Lord of hosts, is there no longer any wisdom in Teman? Has good counsel been lost to the prudent? Has their wisdom decayed? Flee away, turn back, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants of Dedan. For I will bring the disaster of Esau on him. At that time I punish him. If grape gatherers come to you, would they not leave gleanings? If thieves came by night, they would only take until they had enough. But I, God, have stripped Esau bare. I have uncovered his hiding places so that he will not be able to conceal himself. He's not going to be able to hide. And his neighbors, it says his offspring have been destroyed along with his relatives, his neighbors, and he's no more. Leave your orphans behind. I will keep them alive. Let your widows trust in me. Let those that you have left, they will trust in me. For thus says the Lord, behold, those who were not sentenced to drink the cup will certainly drink it. And are you the one who will be completely acquitted? Do you think I'm just going to let you go scot-free? You will not be acquitted, but you will certainly drink it. For I have sworn by myself, declares the Lord, that Bozrah, when you go down to Bozrah, I mean, you're in the area where the children of Israel are going to flee in the last days. We go there when every year we take a teaching tour to Israel. If you want Bible, and I mean, you want fellowship and you want a wonderful time, only staying in two hotels and the finest and all of that, but you want Bible, then go to Israel with us. And many take this additional tour. And so they go down to Edom and they go over, they cross the Jordan and they go over into the country of Edom where the Jews are going to flee. He says, I have sworn by myself, declares the Lord, that Bozrah will become an object of horror, a reproach, a ruin, and a curse, and all of its cities will become perpetual ruins. I have heard a message from the Lord. An envoy is sent among the nations saying, gather yourselves together, come against her, and rise for battle. He says, for behold, I have made you small among the nations, despised among men. As for a terror of you, the arrogance of your heart has deceived you. The arrogance of your heart has deceived you. Don't be deceived by arrogance. Arrogance, have you ever said, that'll never happen to me. I'll never go through that. And then did you find yourself going through it? Did you find that happening to you, what you never expected? Listen, we have to walk in humility before God. And that's one of the messages as we look at what God is saying to Edom and what he's saying to the others. Listen to what he says in verse 16. As for the terror of you, the arrogance of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rock, who occupy the height of the hill, though you make your nest as high as an eagle's, I will bring you down from there. When you go into Petra, beloved, and you go walking in, or you go riding in on a horse or in a cart, and you go through this narrow, slim thing, just like you see in Raiders of the Lost Ark. You come in, and here are these magnificent buildings carved in the rock. Beautiful, beautiful red stone. And you think, how could you would automatically be secure. It says, Edom will become an object of horror. Everyone who passes by it will be horrified and hiss at its wounds, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah with its neighbors, says the Lord. No one will live there, nor will a son of man reside in it. Behold, one will come up like a lion from the thickets of the Jordan against a perennially watered pasture. For in an instant, I will make him run away from it, and whoever is chosen, I shall appoint over it. For who? God is speaking. I highlighted it in yellow. For who is like me? Who will summon me into court? Oh, beloved, you may sit there in your arrogance and you may summon God into court, or you may have friends that say, I'm sorry, I just don't believe that. I just don't buy that. I'm the captain of my own fate and I am not going to live under the dictates of this God. I know how I want to live. Well, you better live it quickly. Because God will judge you. He cannot let arrogance go unchastened. He says, for who is like me? Who will summon me into court? Who then is the shepherd who can stand against me? Who is the ruler of a country that can stand against me? That's what a shepherd is. Who is the leader? Look at all the men whose sin has been exposed when they covered it and thought it was hidden. And all of a sudden it comes to light. Who do you think brings it to light? It's God. It says, therefore, hear the plan of the Lord, which he has planned against Edom, and his purposes, which he has purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely they will drag them off, even the little ones of the flock. Surely he will make their pasture desolate before them. The earth has quaked at the noise of their downfall. There's an outcry. The noise has been heard at the Red Sea. That's where we stay when we go down and do the Petra extension. Behold, he will mount up and swoop like an eagle and spread his wings against Bozra. And the hearts of the mighty men of Edom in that day will be like the heart of a woman in labor. You know what he's saying? He promises no future for Edom. Then he speaks about Damascus. Damascus is currently a city. I mean, I opened a magazine and there it's all about the city of Damascus. Concerning Damascus, it's in Syria. Hamath and Arpad are put to shame, for they have heard bad news. They're disheartened. There is anxiety by the sea. It cannot be calm. Damascus has become helpless. She has turned away to flee, and panic has gripped her. Distress and pangs have taken hold of her like a woman in childbirth. How the city of praise has not been deserted, the town of my joy. Therefore, her young men will fall in the streets, and the men of war will be silenced in that day, declares the Lord. It's Syria that is an enemy against Israel that wants the Golan Heights. It is Syria and Damascus that fled in that battle on the Golan Heights. I will set a fire to the wall of Damascus. It will devour the towers, fortified towers of Ben-Hadad. You can't stop God's judgment. And then there's no future. No future of being restored that is mentioned for Damascus. And then concerning Kedar and the kingdoms of Hazor, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, defeated. Thus says the Lord, rise and go up to Kedar, devastate the men of the east. They will take away their tents and their flocks. They will carry off for themselves their tent curtains, all their goods and their camels, and they will call out to one another, terror on every side, run away, flee, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants of Hazor, for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has formed a plan against you and devised a scheme against you. Arise, go up against a nation that is at ease, which lives securely, declares the Lord. It has no gates or bars. They dwell alone. Their camels will become plunder, and their many cattle for booty. I will scatter to all the winds those who cut the corners of their hair. It says, and I will bring disaster from every side, declares the Lord. Hazor will become a haunt of jackals, a desolation. Now listen to this, forever. No one will live there, nor will a man reside in it. Well, beloved, we've come to the last prophecy of the nations until we come to Babylon, and it is in verse 34. It is the word of the Lord that comes to Jeremiah. Now, this is what makes it so different. It comes concerning Elam. Elam is either, and there's debate, it's either Iraq or Iran. The beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah. All the rest came in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I am going to break the bow of Elam, the finest of their might. I will bring upon Elam the four winds and from the four ends of the heavens and will scatter these to the wind. And there will be no nation to which the outcasts of Elam will not go. I'm going to spread them out. So I will shatter Elam before their enemies. This could be Iran. And before those who seek their lives, I will bring calamity upon them. Even my fierce anger, declares the Lord. I will send out the sword after them until I have consumed them. Now listen, then I will set up my throne in Elam. If it is Iran, the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, was convinced that he was to be the head of a holy war, create chaos so that the Mahdi, their savior, could come. Oh, he'll bring Jesus with him, but he'll be subservient. This is what they teach. They say they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe that he's the Son of God, and therefore they don't have life. And what is God going to do? He's going to set up his throne in Elam and destroy out of it kings and princes, declares the Lord. But it will come about in the last days, here's the grace of God, that I will restore the fortunes of Elam, declares the Lord. Now, the next prophecy has to do with Babylon, and you don't want to miss it. Babylon and modern day Iraq go together. And what God is going to show us and what we're going to see in our lesson next week is what this has to do with the days yet ahead. And yet, what is God's lesson for us this week? God's lesson for us is the same as his lesson for the nations. Don't seek your greatness. Don't seek greatness for yourself. Seek God. Seek God. Anyone that turns their back on God, anyone that walks away, anyone that despises his word, a holy and just God is going to have to judge. You see, he's not just the one that brought Israel into existence. He's the one that brought the nations. And the nations, according to Psalm 2, are to worship the Son, God's anointed, whom he has established in Zion on his holy mount.
air on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
We've seen God's Word to the nations. We've seen these prophecies about Him tearing up, tearing down, destroying and overthrowing, and then restoring their fortunes, building and planting. As we look at this, I want us to close by going to Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is an awesome psalm that has to do with the nations. And as you look at Psalm 2, what you're going to see is you're going to see how the nations are to respond to God and how you don't need to be afraid of what's happening in the nations. Why are the nations in an uproar and the people devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and His anointed. The word anointed could be translated Messiah, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. We don't need to listen. We don't need to acknowledge Him as God. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then He will speak to them in His anger. We have seen that. Terrify them in His fury, saying, as for me, I've installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. That king is Jesus. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. That's the king. You are my son. So what the Muslims say about Jesus is wrong. It says, today I have begotten you. Ask of me. Ask of me, son, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the very ends of the earth as your possession. He is going to be king over all the earth. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now, therefore, O kings, take discernment, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence, or it means kiss the Son and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that He not become angry and you perish in the way, for His wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all those that take refuge in Him. Beloved, His wrath is soon going to be kindled. Kindled against the nations, we're going to see these things come to pass because God watches over His word to perform it. But if you and I, in these days of judgment, will not seek greatness, but we will seek to serve the Lord, then we will be blessed of God and used of God. That's your precept for life today.
Thank you for watching today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.